Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland, but I'm not in Ireland. I'm in Madeira, this Portuguese island in the North Atlantic. So it's not quite the furthest point of Portugal from Lisboa, because the Açores are further out into the Atlantic. They're not quite so far south. Seen bananas growing wild, and I think, well, I've never seen bananas growing in Europe. Of course, we're closer to the coast of Africa. But when Portugal decolonized in 1975, they didn't even consider jettisoning these islands, been an integral part of Portugal since 1419. But they did confer independence on Cabo Verde. But I don't think anyone here in Madeira wanted to separate from Portugal. They were virtually all of Portuguese stock in those days. So there's the third highest point in the island, Pico do Areiro, 1,818 meters above sea level, so 18 meters. And you can see we're well above the clouds. So you can see it's quite a rocky landscape. There's some low shrubs. It reminds me of some of the landscape around Cape Town. Okay, so it's almost a lunar landscape. There's some loose scree and so forth, because of course it's a volcanic island where it's fairly fertile down at sea level. It gets very lush in the mid-levels because of the volcanic soil. And then you have these low, stumpy bushes. You have the waxy ones. You have like ferns, almost broom bracken. You have some yellowy grass. So you'll see that it's a somewhat sandy soil here. Yeah, so they're these loose boulders. There we go. Well above the clouds, the Ilhas Desertadas, those three uninhabited islands, you can't even see them from here. They've got no fresh water source. Yes, occasional rain, but no sort of river. So that's why it was really impossible to settle them, to get sedentary agriculture going there. Now, one of these things, God's golf balls. Okay, I don't know exactly how they use them for, radar or something. And it says Air Force, so that's why it's got razor wire around it. So there's a special tour bus you can get up for €40, or get the public bus for €3. Well, I can afford €3, but what else about it? So that only runs twice a day, and then you could have to spend hours here unless you're willing to get a taxi down. So there's Bolt and Uber. They say Bolt is better here. So here we are, Centro Ferreira de Freiria de Madeira. Okay, Madeira's petrol centre. Petrol, P-E-T-R-E-L. What on earth is that? They're trying to say petrol. There's no filling station here. They're Rui Silva. Rui is a common Christian name. Silva meaning forest. Silva and da Silva is one of those common Portuguese surnames. Portuguese surnames inevitably end in a letter A, a letter O, or a letter S, like Nives, Fuentes, Fernandes, Gomes, Sequeira, D'Oliveira, and so forth. I'm thinking of Quetano. The other one is Salazar, but of course that's not a Portuguese ancestry. That was a Spanish name. Okay, there we go, the souvenir shop. And so it is, so tourists from Poland and France on the way up. And there are quite a few Swedish, Danish, Finnish, Dutch tourists, British tourists, Germans. I've not heard of a single American here, actually. So there we go. And then there are various mountain walks you can go on, and there are different levels of difficulty. And you can see how sheer those peaks are. So coming up, you'd have to contend with some very steep inclines. Yeah. So there are all sorts of switchbacks and hairpin bends. It was quite a white knuckle ride coming up. I thought, my goodness, well, at least this driver's experienced, but I don't want him to be slapdash, a bit too cocksure of himself, because he's done it myriad times before. And you see this incredibly steep valley it falls into there. Wow. Anyway. So extraordinarily dramatic and striking landscape. Maybe not what you'd expect, because people think it's a Mediterranean destination. We're not in the Mediterranean, we're the Atlantic. But these mountains rise very suddenly, as you can see. Okay, but there are not even any goats. Saw a few birds around. And yeah, so it's very, very difficult. And then deep in that dell back there, you saw an old style village. You probably can't make it out with the typical orange roofs. And there was no high-rise architecture, they say, till about 40 years ago, till tourism started going at some sort of significant scale. But almost everyone can speak English in Portugal, and particularly here. So it's actually one of the best countries in the world for speaking English that's not an Anglophone country, perhaps because they're so reliant on tourism. And they can usually speak Spanish too, because they find it very easy to learn from theirs, to read. I used to think it sounded like a drunk Russian attempting to speak Spanish. But some of the pronunciations I got were actually from Brazilian Portuguese, not Lusitanian Portuguese. So because, you know, Portuguese is actually quite a major world language. Over 300 million native speakers of it. Obviously, Portugal is one of the less wealthy countries in the European Economic Community or the European Union until the noughties, because until it expanded to the east, it was us, Republic of Ireland, Spain, Portugal and Greece, we got the big structural funds, but we've caught up now. So because they're often going abroad to work, they learn other languages, particularly English. But France is a very popular destination, Germany, Luxembourg, Switzerland. Tourism was such a big boon to the economy. So that's it. Anyway, go a little bit further up. The air is slightly thin. It's not as cool as I feared it would be. And the thing is, because it's near the Atlantic, there can be quite strong winds. There's not been a drop of rain since we've been here, despite the clouds. You can see the clouds are white, which means they're not carrying too much moisture. But there can be gales in the winter, and then the weather can change very quickly indeed. They say, even though it seems like the sun is smiling on you, take a second layer, a waterproof layer, because you go hiking on one of these rough mountain trails, suddenly there could be a torrential downpour. It could get very chilly in a minute. Right, so what else? There seems to be no wildlife at all, only these birds fluttering around. How about that? So it's just almost impassable because it's so sheer, that drop into the valley. I don't know anything about plants. I knew that they did bring a lot of plants in from South Africa, and because it's a similar biome to the Western Cape. So I'll actually go up to it. I can't remember the name of the highest point on the island, but we're not too far off it. Oh, slightly below it, 1,810 meters right here. So we'll look out for some birds. Anyway, they say don't feed the birds, don't light any fires, don't make loud noises. I'm not sure why not. We're not going to start a avalanche, not going to scare off any animals. I remember seeing these things in Cyprus when I was little, but belonging to the Royal Air Force because there's British bases there. So I'm about to conquer the third highest peak. Okay, I did almost all of it by bus, but, you know, didn't have to ruin it. And some Nepalis working here. Two Nepalis working in the little snack bar down there. A Nepali waitress in the restaurant yesterday night. There we go. And there's a mountain trail, but it's got a stone path, making it a bit easier on you. And there's, of course, the inevitable souvenir shop selling things made out of cork. They really needed cork. There were cork trees, but for primitive life jackets of the old days. Not much in terms of leather goods, because I haven't seen goats and sheep, which you might expect here in a place where it's fairly infertile, not suitable for sedentary farming. You think there might be more goat pads. Look at that, okay? All these sharp rocks, and I'm almost getting there. And then you can see, 48 kilometers away sometimes, you can see Porto Santo, that other island, which has only got 5,000 people, but got lovely long sandy beaches. On the horizon, I can see wind turbines. So that's me. Okay, thanks for watching, everybody. Goodbye.